Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy, they bring to me,
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to bring to us knowledge and guidance, Father, and wisdom, and to help us to build our faith stronger so we can walk closer and more with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And help this, my voice, Father, and I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be getting into the study here of chapter 3 of Philippians. We finished the chapter 2 this morning. So as we get going here, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the coincision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. For though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, the Pharisees. 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. All right, I'm going to stop here now because I want to back up and bring some things to you for you to have and to meditate upon. Because you see, Paul is always giving us things that we should do, things that we should have, and things that we should not have, and things that we should not do. And we need to go over all these and bring about where we can meditate upon them and know how we stand spiritually. Now, here in that verse 1, he starts out finally. And that finally is a transitional word that might be rendered as for the rest or in addition. And it turns from the old subject just discussed in chapter 2, the coming visits of Timothy and Epaphroditus to a new subject, the reader's religious enemies. And to write the same thing refers to matters that Paul touches on again and again, namely the call to rejoice found throughout the epistle and the repeated warning about their adversaries. You know, as we go in to verse 2, it's kind of short, but there's a lot there. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Now, Paul warns the Philippians against dogs, which are then described as evil workers. And lastly, as the concision. These three refer to Judaizers. These were Jews who professed to be Christians. They preached that unless one is circumcised according to the custom of Moses, one cannot be saved. Their chief weapon was persuasion rather than persecution. And they were one of the chief dangers to the early church. They are figuratively called dogs. To the Eastern mind, this animal was the most despised, shameless, and miserable creature. He was a scavenger, roaming the streets and feeding on refuge. And as Jews held Gentiles in disdain, often calling them dogs, Paul similarly regards the Judaizing party, and the apostle refuses to call Judaizers the circumcision. The very expression applied in verse 3 to genuine Christians. Instead, he calls them the concision, meaning those who mutilate or cut the flesh. Judaizers mutilated the flesh by imposing circumcision on their converts, believing the ritual to be necessary for salvation. But the true circumcision consists of those circumcised of the heart, not of body, recognizing the ritual to have been abrogated by Christ, circumcision of the body no longer had spiritual value and significance. You see, but we all know circumcision, according to the Mosaic law, was just with the men, and from when they were born, according to the law, they were supposed to be circumcised the eighth day of their life, from the time of Christ and his time here on earth, his death and his resurrection, and the setting up of the new church, the New Testament church, which is covered by his blood, we no longer had to be circumcised. Only circumcised in the heart. That old man sinned, had to be taken out. It had to go. And only through the Lord Jesus Christ can we be rid of that. You see, we go to him and repent. He forgives those sins. And as we grow and we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that old man is cut out of the heart. He's gotten rid of. And our heart has been cleansed. It's no longer filled with the evil that was there before. Now, then we come to verse 3, and the circumcision are true people of God, described here in three ways. One, they are those who worship God in the Spirit. Their worship of God is prompted, directed, and enabled by the Holy Spirit. And two, the real Christian also rejoice in Christ. They boast and take pride in him, not in themselves. They have no confidence in the flesh. Flesh here means one earthly privileges and human attainments and religious accomplishments. And God's people refuse to depend on such things for their salvation. Instead, they rely upon Christ to obtain favor with God. You see, there is a lot of things out there in just those few verses. And there is a lot more that could be said. But we'll go on now to this, where he's talking about any other man there in 4, refers to Paul's religious opponents, the Judaizers, having just stated that Christians do not confide in human merit and religious achievements. The apostles now shows that as far as one might do this, he himself could not, could but does not. Paul draws back the curtain on his past, his Jewish life, and lists his religious credentials. And Paul places, you know, himself here on the Judaizers' ground, and adopting their language, speaks of himself as having that very thing, the flesh, our human and religious merit, which he, in fact, has rejected. He does this for two reasons. One, to prevent his adversaries from alleging that his refusal to trust in religious credentials and accomplishments is due to his lack of them. And two, to refute the Judaizers' doctrine of there being any saving value in such human achievements. A whole lot going on. That a lot of times we don't stop and think about. He goes on to let them know that he was circumcised on the eighth day. He was circumcised right according to the law. And he was born of the stock of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews. And as touching the law, we know that he sat under even the male, learning. And he went about persecuting the church. Believing he was doing the work, really, of God when he was going against God's Son. Because, you see, he was ignorant of that fact. Now, he's letting them know, too, that stamping out Christianity and touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. Paul is saying here concerning righteousness, which is in accord with the law, I was blameless. That is, outwardly no man could fault him for failing to keep any point of the law. You see, he was keeping all the points of the law and believing that what he was doing, going against those that were believers in Jesus and persecuting them, bringing them back to be jailed and even killed, he thought he was doing the work of the Lord. You see, he wasn't. He was outside. It took a lot of things to bring about. But the main thing to change Paul's life was in meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He had to get rid of all of his teaching and everything. That all had to be turned loose of. And this is what he's telling us there. Now, 9. and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's how we gain righteousness. Is by our repentance of our sins. And that is to be done in honesty and sincerity. If not, then it's been done in vain. But when it's done in honesty and sincerity, the word lets us know that we are forgiven. And then we bring Christ in. We ask the Lord to come in and live with us and to guide us. And he will do so. Then, you see, we need that last thing of the way of salvation. That being born again of God. And the anointing and the baptism of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Also coming and living within us. And with that, we have everything we will ever need to accomplish whatever God asks of us to do. Now, and he is the one that lets us learn from his word, the truth of this word, so that we are not speaking to others things that are contrary or contradicting to of God's word, which a lot are doing today. Now, ten, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. He's talking about Jesus there in chapter 10. You see, he had to learn that, too. And Paul didn't learn that until after he met him on the road to Damascus. And he began his education there in Damascus, in that room where he had been led and set blind, until one was sent to him to give his sight back and to lay hands on him and for him to receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Eleven, by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, he's talking about the resurrection of the dead there. Like the preceding verse, this one also contains a literal and a non-literal interpretation. And Paul is eager to become more like Jesus in his death so that he can progressively experience more of the believer's resurrection life to be enjoyed now, the newness of life And that's what you and I and all are standing in need of today, that newness of life, that he can someday undergo physical resurrection from the grave, thus experiencing God's power in one of its greatest aspects. There is nothing more greater given to mankind than what God has already given us, and that being his Son that came to be our sacrifice so that we could be without all of this old man sin and walk in this newness of life in righteousness, in the holiness of Almighty God. And as we have found out already, we need to be able to do that. We need the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, because without it, without them, you and I are nothing. Yet the Lord God loves us. He loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to go through all that pain and misery and death to be our sacrifice, and then gave us his Holy Spirit so that we could have the knowledge and the wisdom to do the work that we need to be doing according to the way and the will of Almighty God. Now, not as though I had already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, he walks as though he hadn't obtained that, but he has. But he must walk as though he hadn't in order to keep it. Now, 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, always reaching ahead. And we need to be looking ahead, always reaching for the things of the kingdom of Almighty God. 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. And this mark is the object, actually, of verses 10 and 11, knowing Christ. The prize is the joyful personal satisfaction of having obtained it, as well as the divine commendation and reward to be granted in heaven for having reached this goal on earth. This high calling of God is the divine summons extended to the believer for salvation. Think about it. 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if then anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. This be thus minded literally means let us think this or let us hold this opinion. Mature Christians must realize that they are not ethically, but they tirelessly press toward higher spiritual attainment. But you see, there is present then a bit of our ornery, perfect, mature believers are those who admit they are not perfect in any absolute sense. The apostle urges all mature Philippian Christians to hold this attitude, conceding that none has yet spiritually arrived, but ever pressing on toward further development. And he goes on to say, if you be otherwise minded, the writer realizes that not all of the Philippian readers agree with his conviction of verses 12 through 15, but he is confident that God will reveal their erroneous thinking to them. You see, we know this flesh will never be perfect. But we are to continue spiritually gaining and keeping ourselves through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, because on our own we can't do it. Clean and without sin, and ever reach for the kingdom of Almighty God and in His way. 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Even though you have gained a spiritual perfection, we're to walk as though we had not ever attained it, still reaching for it, because we are still reaching to learn more and more and more. And we are to be watching ourselves all the time. What we do, our attitude, our character, the whole bit. And especially the words that we speak. 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. You know, Paul's asking the Philippians there to imitate him. And due to his action, they cannot observe him. So he tells them to imitate those among them who live as he does. In other words, though the two that he sent, which was Timothy in the advice. You know, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They walk claiming to be, the children of God, but they're not, and they're lost. And we have a lot of them around us. 19. Whose end is destruction? It's telling us. Do you want to walk that way? Then you are headed for destruction. Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They are after earthly things instead of the things of God. They're putting the earthly things ahead of the things of God. That's why you don't have them in these Bible studies and in the churches that are teaching the truth, is because they are placing things of this earth first before God. And they are headed for destruction. Now, 20. For our compensation is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You see, the Lord changes our body, and we are schooled by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, getting us ready to be reconciled back with our Father in heaven. And we are to walk, to live, that part that God gives us to live, and to carry on with the things he will have each one of us to accomplish. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we close your word and we thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for the time that you have given me to set aside, Father, for the study of your word. And I thank you, Father, for those that have sat in with me, that have heard your word. And I pray for them, Father, that they have gained enough to begin to do the walk they need to walk, Father, and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in their life and them in his life, so that they can have eternal life in heaven, Father. Now, Father, Israel, I pray for peace to them. I know of the fighting and the evil that's going on there, Father. And I'm lifting him up and praying for peace. The Father, I pray for all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, turned its back and walked away from Jesus. We have those in our offices of leadership that needs to be replaced, Father. Fill this land with evil, and to replace them with ones, Father, that's walking in righteousness, that loves you, loves the Lord Jesus, loves your church and your people, and loves this land. Father, that they will work with us to bring this land to repentance. And Father, once again, to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for each and every one that has heard any of this message as we come through the Bible. I pray for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for James Taylor, for Amy, for her husband Tom, for her son Jacob. Father, I pray for Millie and Bobby Johnson. I pray for my wife, Father. And I pray for all of our families. And Father, I'm praying for this young couple, Courtney and Shane. They stand in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, they'll be able to find it, that the Holy Spirit will work with them and lead them to Him. Now, Father, I'm asking, as we go our separate ways now, face this night, keep us in health, keep us safe, and Father, bring us back together again into your word in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into the study of your word. This, Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I pray everyone will have a good night. We'll have a peaceful night. And we'll continue to hold on to the Lord God. Good night, all.